Govinda, Govinda, Govala.
అష్టోత్తర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షి శీల ప్రభుపాద కీ జయ్. आनंदमणि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रणाम स्वभाव श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरव भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपगोविंद श्याम कुंड राधावंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की गंगमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवे भक्त वृंद की ఎంతో ప్రేమణ్యంబల్ కృష్ణ ప్రసాద భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజాని నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది భాషాధిదేశారణి ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ
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 సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం
దీనమాం కరుణాలిహే
శ్రీమద్భాగవతాఖ్యోయం
ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవహి స్వీకృతోష్ణయానాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే మనోమయోధీమతియోయం సఫలా సౌరాద్వయం నవీనేనేవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పార్వతోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథ సోమో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వ పాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం నమామి హరిం పరమ
జన్మాద్యస్య యోమయాదిగరద త్రిసర్గో సదాగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజిత కైలవోత్ర వనమో నిరంతరానాం సదా వేద్యం మాధవమంతవస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోర్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కిమ్వాగదేశ్వర సత్యో హృద్యవరుధ్య నేత్ర కృతి శుశ్రూషు విచక్షణాన్ నిగమగల్బలరోర్గరిదం బలం శుభభారమద్రవ సంయుతం వివద భారవదం రసమాలయం మురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పవ్యాధిహేతవే తావత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యంభవ్రజంతం అనువేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయినో విరహదాదరవాజ్జుహవ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయంతయోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనదోస్మి యస్వానుభావం అభయశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిదిరీర్షదం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయా పురాణయుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయమీయతే కమనీయ విశోరముఖమూర్తే కలవేను కొడిగాదులనయనేందో మమ వాజి నిజంబరా మురారే మధురేణ కనిగాపి కావికావి నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజాని నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది ఆశాదివాదేశదారిణి శ్రీమద్ గురుచరణారణ్యాభ్యాం నమః వందే నందవ్రత స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమీష్ణశ
यासां हरिगदोर्कीर्तनं पुनादिभुक्तत्रयं गोपीशरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं कदव्याजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वादालेशमनिशं प्रतिभावयामि वामनं पूजयन्मेनं श्यामलोयं कुमारगा वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदाम्बुरलो मम मूकं करोति वाचालं अङ्गं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द
spoke last Sunday from the from Ekadasha Skandam chapter 9, that's where we completed. We stopped at that point. So to begin, before begin with the 10th chapter, we saw how, as I mentioned before, there are three things in the Srimad Bhagavatam which are the keys to Bhagavatam, particularly devotion, renunciation and knowledge. Bhakti, Jnanam and Vairagyam. These are the three things what Vedavyasa Maharshi wanted us to achieve by studying Srimad Bhagavatam. To develop devotion, to develop renunciation and to develop knowledge. All the three things, these are the three main things which was expected from a devotee to develop from Srimad Bhagavatam. So out of that, so far we have seen that whatever Krishna has spoken to Uddhava was based on the theme of renunciation, Vairagyam, isn't it? As you saw here in the last verse when he said that Avadhuta Vacha Shrutva, that what he, before that he said that mahi evam sanjata vairagyam vijnana alokam atmani vijarami mahi medam mukta sango anaham kriti. So from these 24 spiritual masters, Avadhuta Brahmana said to King Yadu that what I have learned so far from this is vairagyam, renunciation. So, having spoken about Vairagyam, Krishna will now is going to go on a different level. This 10th chapter from the Ekadasha Skandam is a very key chapter in the sense that Krishna is going to say a number of things here, and when you listen to Krishna's words, it is meant to create thoughts in us, a lot of thoughts for thoughtful people. It's not story, it's not entertainment, it is serious business, what Krishna is saying now. So, if you look at Bhagavatam, you will see Ekadasham is getting deeper and deeper now into the subject. You will also notice there that a difference between Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandam, you will find now what's going to happen. Where is the difference between, somebody asks, what is the difference between, Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, Krishna has spoken to Uddhava also, both are Krishna students, and if somebody asks, what is the difference between what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna and what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, you will find that difference here, which is coming in the next few verses. That's one important thing. Uddhava Gita, as it is called, this Ekadasha Skandam, these verses are called Uddhava Gita. Uddhava Gita has a lot more depth. Relatively, Bhagavad Gita is easier to understand. You will see that as we go by. Why it is difficult to understand Ekadasham. But on the other hand, credit that's been given to Uddhava Gita is, if you hear and if you reflect on it, you can get liberated. And there is a proof for that in this world. What has happened, if you look into Bhagavatam itself, at the very end of Srimad Bhagavatam you will find, it is that process, that accepting what Krishna has spoken. If it is accepted, when I say if it is accepted means if it's realized by the person, the knowledge what Krishna has spoken in this coming verses, if it is realized, he is liberated. He is liberated. Because that is that is the knowledge what Krishna has spoken in the coming verses. That's very important thing. It is such a powerful instructions to Uddhava, what Krishna has given here in the coming verses, that even by hearing this and realizing it, one is automatically liberated while living in this body, in this world. Jivan Mukta they call it. So Jivan Mukta stage comes even while living. So it is a very, very, very serious topic that is discussed in this thing here. The other thing is, while discussing this coming chapter, next few chapters, if we move into other topics or any kind of relaxed atmosphere or relaxed mood is also not a good thing. Because then you will get distracted from the message what Krishna is talking about. So lot of attention needed to understand what Krishna is saying in the next chapter. As you know that we have in the Bhagavad Gita also, when Krishna began speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Krishna understood that Arjuna has to be spoken about karma first, isn't it? Karma. He started in the second chapter in the Sanghi Yoga Mass, it's called. Prabhupada gave the title as Contents of Bhagavad Gita Summarized, because it's a summary of Bhagavad Gita. But there, Krishna began with the Sanghyam side of it. Sanghyam and Jnanam, they are very closer, because Jnanam is Sanghyam only, with little differences. So, when Krishna started second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, he started with Sanghyam, and as he went past, as he gone through a little bit, he switched on to karma. He switched on to karma. Because, although when he spoke Sanghyam first to Arjuna, Krishna could see that prior to come to that point of Sanghyam, Arjuna has to realize the importance of karma. Importance of karma. Karma is a very, very important element in our life. In fact, if you look at Vedic philosophy, there is one factor as powerful as Krishna in the whole Vedic philosophy, it is karma. We say, if you leave Krishna, the next most powerful thing in the Vedic philosophy is karma. It is that powerful, this thing called karma. On the one hand, it is with us all the time. Ever since we have taken this body, all through our life, it is with us, karma. Karma means action. That's a simple translation, but karma means more than that. So, if you remember in the Bhagavatam, we said about this, Rajodigaha karma-baraha. Karma-baraha. Our desire to act in this world is very, very strong. That is how we are, by nature. Karma-baraha. Dukheja sukhavanina. That this karma has one effect on us, that when we execute karma, although it is bringing distress to us, we have this understanding that it is happiness. This is the beauty of this karma. Karma has this capacity to turn us that way. Rajodigaha karma baraha. But in spite of the fact that distress is coming from karma, we won't give it up. We'll continue doing it again and again. So therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, Brahma was talking to Srinarada Maharshi. At that time, this was spoken. In the Bhagavad Gita, When you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there. While talking to Arjuna, Krishna spoke about karma. Not once, four chapters. Out of 18 chapters, four chapters Krishna has spoken about karma, beginning more or less in the middle of second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter, fifth chapter. And then sixth chapter he moves on to Dhyana Yoga. So, why karma is important? This is the first thing, isn't it? Why karma is important? Importance of karma is this, that the karma won't leave us. This is one difficult thing. It is something very intricately connected with us. Very intricately connected with us. We are not even aware of this thing called karma. What does it mean? And how does it affect us? And why it is so important, this principle of karma. Even great personalities in spiritual life, advanced from the Vedic tradition, although they have followed the path of jnanam and bhakti, and they have even said that karma can be overcome, or we can cross over the binding coming or bondage from karma by developing knowledge and devotion. But still, in their early days in spiritual life, they had to go through this process of karma yoga. They had to follow the process of karma yoga. So, karma and karma yoga, karma has a significant contribution or significant impact in our spiritual life. And that's why karma has been taken a very serious view by all the commentators on Bhagavad Gita, all the commentators on Srimad Bhagavatam. They all will give an important aspect of karma is discussed in their commentaries also. So, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, you can see how Krishna has taken karma. We have spoken a lot of these things when we discuss Bhagavad Gita, but still, just to bring your mind back to the, because I know most of it won't be there now. It's all gone from that day itself. From after that, you may not have even thought about it. So therefore, I feel it's necessary to little bit talk about those things what we spoke during the time we discussed Bhagavad Gita. You will also notice the connection between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam here. You will also see the difference, how the Bhagavad Gita is different from Bhagavatam. The connections you will see and the differences also you will see. So, where does karma began in the second chapter? Karma began in the second chapter when Krishna talked about the principle of karma to Arjuna, isn't it? discussing with Arjuna, Krishna spoke about one important point to Arjuna. Karmani va adhigaraste ma bhaleshu kadachana ma karma bhalehe durbhu ma te sangos swakarmani. This was the karma principle, what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna. That karmani va adhigaraste, you are qualified or you are expected, you have the right to do your work. You have the right to do your work. How? Ma bhaleshu kadachana. You have no right to expect the results. You have no right to expect the results. Then, ma karma, this is called karma sutra. Four karma sutras they refer to. Ma karma bhalahe durbho. That you also cannot, not only you can't expect the results, you also cannot think in your mind that the results of your karma is directly the result of your action. In other words, it is not directly connected with your action, the result of the karma, what you are getting. It's a very subtle thing to understand, because generally we deal in this world with only one understanding. What's that? I do something, you pay for it. This is what we are learned with, isn't it? And because of this, the in the Vedas itself, it begins with Karmagandam first. Why Karmagandam to begin with in the Vedas? Vedas are the ultimate authority, isn't it? So there also, Karmagandam has been given this talk more at the beginning. So, which clearly shows that anyone who comes to spiritual life, unless he clears his path, he clears his way of this thing called karma, he cannot go further than that. It's not possible. Therefore, in Vedas it's karma gandam, in Bhagavad Gita it is karma yogam, and Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see what Krishna is going to say about that now. So that's where we are going to now, going to discuss. So, in these four sutras, Krishna has said, karmanneva adhikaraste, that you have the right to do your karma. You are authorized to do your karma, action. Ma bhaleshu kadachana, you have no right to expect the results. Ma karma bhalehe durbho, you also cannot even think in your head that the results of your action is coming directly because of your effort. At the same time, Made Sangos Tokarmani, you cannot stay away from doing the things. Nobody can stay away from work, isn't it? Nobody can stay away from work. So these four things are called Chatursutram, Chatursutram of Karma. Karma Sutram they are called. If you understand these four things, this is very key points which Krishna has spoken to Arjuna in the beginning. And then Krishna said, from then on, for many few chapters, Krishna was talking about karmams from various angles. He was looking at it. And he said, there's yoga karmasu kaushalam, that how to execute karmam in a kaushalam, that how develop that kushalada. Kushalada means that expertise in executing karma, how to acquire that. He's not talking about the skills now. He's not talking about skills. He's talking about the expertise in executing karma. What does that mean? If you have thought about it, you'd understood. Expertise in executing karma from material sense is your skill to execute the karma, isn't it? From spiritual sense, it's not like that. From spiritual sense, the expertise is, while executing the karma, not allowing that karma to affect you in any way. That is the expertise, the skill in executing the karma. What does that mean? Karma creates a few things in us. First thing it creates is the vasana. It sows the seed for some kind of thoughts inside, builds up, which will develop into vasanas, and vasanas will call. What will happen? Vasanas will develop into chittavritti. Chittavritti means it will start disturbing the mind. Mind will come into action. So, vasanas will happen, chittavritti will happen, and the action will follow from that. So, action will follow from that. Because of these things, these different things, what will have its impact on us, it's spoken that Krishna is saying, yoga karmasu kaushalam, that your expertise, Krishna is not talking about your expertise in executing the karma, but after executing the karma, how much it has affected you. That is more important from the spiritual point of view. Yoga karmasu kaushalam, Krishna says that, isn't it? Buddhiyukto jahariha ubhaya sukrata duskrate tasmal yoga yujyasya yoga karmasu kaushalam. That so, like this, Krishna goes on. You can read through the second chapter where it began with verse number 49-50, goes on like that. And then Krishna talk about a person to give him several examples of who have achieved that status. And there such people are called Siddha Prajnato. Siddha Prajnato means person of steady intelligence. Where does steady intelligence comes? When they have acquired this capacity to execute karma in that way. And for that, the example was given as, not specifically mentioned here, but the commentators give are the examples of Bhishma, Pitamaha, Vidura, and so on and so forth in the Mahabharata. Why they were given? Because if you look into Mahabharata, you will see that, and Srimad Bhagavatam also, Bhishma and Vidura and all, they had a lot of responsibility in their execution of their duties in this world. But you saw how they executed that without being implicated in that, by being the properly Krishna conscious in their life. So that requires the skill, and that Krishna calls it as yoga karma sa kaushalam. Bhishma Vidamaha didn't take sannyas and go away, did he? Till the last minute he fought the war. And same thing with Vidura also. When I went on sannyasam, but then he realized that sannyas, higher than sannyasam, there is something more than that. So you can see in all their life, Vidura and Bhishma and so many others, Vedavyasa Maharshi also, they all are showing to us that this skill of handling the things in this world, that requires an expertise. That how to execute the work in this world without being affected by the activities of this world. And so that, therefore it was spoken all those things. And therefore an example, Krishna gave this Siddhapratnya, the symptoms of a person with a steady intelligence. That's why you saw those verses from 55 onwards till the very end of second chapter was all in relationship with that. And that's where Arjuna asked Krishna, isn't it? How does a person act? How does a person walk? How does he eat? How does he sleep? How does he talk? All sorts of questions were asked by Arjuna. And Krishna answered all that to show to Arjuna that a person who is in that consciousness, this will be his way of doing things. And he explained. We saw all that earlier. Then, when we came to third chapter, which is titled as the Karma Yoga itself, that Krishna brought this point across, that Arjuna, there is not a very shortcut to free from karma, to come out of karma. There is not a shortcut. And he also said, the process by which, how Krishna puts it, is the process by which, in the ancient times, how the sages carried out their karma was through the process of Karma Yoga. He explained the principle of Karma Yoga at that time to Arjuna. And he said to Arjuna that Karma Yoga, if executed properly, can free oneself from the impact of karma. That's what he was saying there, isn't it? So if you look into the verse number 3 itself in the third chapter in Bhagavad Gita, he says, from time immemorial, Logesmin Divida Nishta Pura Prota Mayanaka Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. Two kinds of people were existing at that time. One who have completely fixed up in the Brahmanishtha. Brahmanishtha means in the truth, in the absolute truth. They, through the process of Jnanam, they achieve that status. And others, when they say others, particularly referring to the grahasthas. Jnana yogena sanghyanam karma yogena yoginam. That's the word Krishna has used in the Bhagavad Gita. In other words, a grahastha or a householder, he has to execute karma in this world. If he does not execute karma, it is sinful. For him, karma is recommended. It is recommended. For a sannyasi, he has to refrain from karma. Jnana yogena sanghyanam Karma yogena yogina. Sannyasi is meant to be fixed on a higher platform. For him, karma is finished. He has no karma afterwards. He is on a much higher level. He is executing, he is completely absorbed in Krishna. But karma yogena yogina. But grahastha cannot give up karma and walk away from that. So therefore, while being in that position, what he should do, it is all discussed in that chapter. And that's where Krishna said also that if he tries to run away from karma, that also is not going to work. Why? Because Mahikashilchanamavi Jadudishtatyakarmakal Kayade Avashak Karma Sarva Pragrijair Gunehi. Krishna is saying there. Now when I'm saying sannyasi and grahastha and all that, please do not misunderstand that sannyasi is one who has taken to saffron straight away. Krishna says that's all not important. In Krishna says sannyasi's definition, it we have discussed in the 15th chapter of the 7th canto, and now it will coming again in the Egadasham later. Krishna will say who is a sannyasi? Who is a sannyasi? That is also an important question. So when you understand Krishna, what Krishna is saying about that, then you can see that sannyasa ashram is not a very easy position, because, and you should not take to sannyasam unless you have reached that level of consciousness. Also, Krishna says that later. So, jnana yogena sanghyanam karma yogena yogina. In other words, majority of the people in this world will be householders. They will not be sannyasis. or they will not be brahmacharis. So, therefore, jnana yoga, sankhyanam, karma yoga, yoga. So, karma yoga will be there. It has to be there. So, Krishna is saying here, nakaschilkshanamavi jadu dushtatyakarmakro karyare avashak karma sarva pragrajair gunaihi. That even for a second, we cannot refrain from karma. Why? Sarva pragrajair gunaihi. We are all under the modes of, three modes of material nature. And so long as we are under three modes of material nature, we will execute karma in this world. Only when you come out of three modes of nature, you can say that you will be not, you will be able to stay away from karma. So that is how karma. And then Krishna also spoke few other things. He said that niyadam guru karmatum karma jayo hagarmana sharira yatra abhijade na prasiddhyeda karmana. That Krishna says that sharira yatra means that we have come in this world with this body, and this is a sharira yatra. This is passing through this body, in other words. You see, from spiritual point of view, they see like that. We say we are traveling through this world, isn't it? No. Spiritually what they say is you are traveling through that body. So body is a separate thing. It has nothing to do with us. We are coming and we are going through this and we'll go out. We came in and we'll go out. We'll leave this body here. So that is why Krishna says, sharira yatra abhijate na prasiddhyeda akarmana. For the sake of the sharira yatra, you need karma, Krishna says. What you talk about anything else. So karma's importance Krishna has spoken, and then Krishna says, the only way you can come execute this karma without getting it stuck in that. The karma's nature is it will stick. Stick means once you start executing, you will get infected with that. Some infection will come. And that infection in the form of asana, in the form of the mind, wavering the mind, chitta chanchalyam as it called, and also it turns into action, which may develop either good results or bad results, trouble for others or not, depends whichever way it goes. So therefore, Krishna is saying there, yajñārthāl karmanonyatra logoyam karma bandhanam. Karma bandhanam is the problem. Karma bandhanam, that's the word they have used. Karma bandhanam means the bondage coming from karma. The bondage, karma bandhanam. The only way to come out of that, Krishna says, is yajñam. Yajñam. Yajñārthāl karmanonyatra logoyam karma bandhanam. Tadartham karma vandeya mukta sanga samācharāha. That therefore, by executing this karma yoga, he says, as a yajna. Remember, yajna means what? Yajna means sacrifice. Sacrificing the work for Krishna, or offering the results to Krishna. Offering the results to Krishna. Sacrificing the work for Krishna. In that way, you can come out of it by this process of karma yoga. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about karma yoga. Karma yoga in the Vedas is different. There it is sacrifices. Vedic sacrifices are all meant for this. That you execute karma yoga or yajnam in such a way that it will release you or free you from the bondage of karma. So, therefore, an elaborate explanation was given in the third chapter. Saha yajna praja srishtva purovaja praja padi. Anena prasavishadvam eshave stishta kamadhuk. That karmams sahayatnya prajasrishta puravada prajandi. Krishna has created a mechanism in such a way that everyone should participate in the yajna. Puravada prajavadi and Brahma itself, he has created the situation in such a way that anena prasavishadvam eshave stishta kamadhuk. The demigods and us, we are connected through karma. Again, Krishna created karma between us and demigods. We execute sacrifices, demigods gets a result. In return, they provide us our maintenance in this world. For example, all what we require for living in this body. That's provided by the demigods, like the heat, the light, and the water, and all other ingredients, what's necessary. Particularly the growth of the food, the vegetables, and everything what we require is provided by the demigods. So, all these things are dependent on the demigods, and they supply us all these on a regulated basis according to our requirement, provided Sahayatnya yeah. Prajasrishta, Puryavaja Prajavari, according to the sacrifices we perform for their pleasure. So these things Krishna explained again in the Bhagavad Gita, the importance of karma. Then Krishna also said there, Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayanduva parasparam bhavayanda shreya parama vapsyada. He gave us also another point made very clear. Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayanduva. That between demigods and yourself, us means human species, let there be a relationship. Krishna says, mutually help each other. And that will happen is shreya parama vapsyada. It will be mutually beneficial. Parasparam bhavayanda. And not only between demigods and us, between the members of the human species here, between all the living entities in this world also, Krishna expects us to have that relationship in that way. I say, matter of sacrifice, not exploit. The modern concept is to exploit each other and to get the benefit from that. But here Krishna is saying, through these sacrifices, you help each other. The all living entities, they all please demigods, and demigods in return will provide everything what's needed for our livelihood in this world. In this way, Krishna is talking about bringing some peace in this world. So there is no disturbed life. People become peaceful. So, all those things Krishna has spoken in the third chapter. In the fourth chapter also, a lot of things we have talked, we won't be able to go through everything now because it's not so much time. What I'm saying is that if you can look at that, those chapters in Bhagavad Gita, you will see the importance of karma spoken there. Now, let's go into Uddhava Gita. Where does that take us? Now, when Krishna spoke to Arjuna, Krishna has spoken in such a way to Arjuna, the glories of karma, the glory of karma, and the importance of executing karma, and how it should be executed, the karma yoga, everything Krishna spoke to Arjuna. When it came to Uddhava, look at what Krishna says. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Mayodiveshavahidaha Sodharmesho Madashrayaha Varnashrama Ulajaram Akamalpa Samacharem Anvikheda Vishuddhalpa Dehinam Vishayatmanam Gunesho Tatvadhyanena Sarvarambha Vibhajayam Suptasya Vishayaloko Dhyayado Vamano Radhaha Nanatmanatadhyvela Tatha Bhedatmadir Gunehi Nivurtam Karma Seveda Pravurtam Malparasthejil Jityasayam Sambravurto Nandriyel Karma Chodanam Yaman Abhishnam Seveda Neman Malpare Kojil Madavityam Gurum Shantam Upasida Madal Padam Amanyamal Sarodaksho Nurmamo Dridasau Hradaha Asatvaro Artajityasu Anasuyu Amokhava Jayavati Grihakshetram Sujanadravina Adishu Udasina Samam Pashyan Sarveshottamival Manamaham Vilakshanastula Sushma Dehandatmekshida Sudrek Yathagnir Dharino Dahya Dahagonya Prakashagaha Nirodalpatyanubruhan Nanatum Kalkridan Gunan Andha Pravishamadhatta Evam Dehagunan Parahaham Yoso Gunair Virajido Dehoyam Purushasehi Samsarastam Nibhandoyam Umso Vidya Chidal Manaham Tasmal Jitnyasaya Atmanam Atmastam Kevalam Param Sangam Vendrasadvedad Vastubuddhim Yathakramam Ajarya Niradhyasya Andeva Sutararani Talsandhanam Pravajanam Vidya Santi Sukhamaha Vaisharadi Sadi Shuddha Buddhir Dhunu Divayam Gunasam Prasudam Gunam Chasanda Khedal Pamedal Swayanja Shamyat Asamitadadni Ataisham Karmagar Kurinam Bokhtanam Sukhadukhayoho Nanathumana Nityatvam Yoga Gala Agamal Manam Manyase Sarvabhavanam Samsta Alpatiki Yadham Vaktatadavadi Vedhena Jayade Vijade Chadim Eva Pyanga Sarvesham Dehinam Deha Yoga Daha
ಕಾಲ ಅವಯವ ಸಂಧಿ ಭಾವ ಜನ್ಮಾದಯೋ ಅಸಗಲಂ ಅತ್ರಾಭಿ ಕರ್ಮಣಾಂ ಕರ್ತು ಅಸ್ವಾತಂತ್ರ್ಯಂ ಜನಕ್ಷದೆ ಭೋಕ್ತುಶ್ಚ ದುಃಖ ಸುಖಯೋ ಕೋನ್ಯರ್ಥೋ ವಿವಶಂ ಭಜೇ ನ ದೇಹಿನಾಂ ಸುಖಂ ಕಿಂಚಿ ವಿದ್ಯದೆ ವಿದುಷಾಮವಿ ತಥಾ ಚ ದುಃಖಂ ಮೂಢಾನ ಮೃಧಾಹಂಗರಣಂ ಪರಂ ಯದಿ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತಂ ವಿಘಾತಂ ಚ ಜಾನಂತಿ ಸುಖ ದುಃಖಯೋ ತೇಪ್ಯದ್ಧಾಮ ವಿದುರ್ಯೋಗಂ ಮೃತ್ಯುರ್ನ ಪ್ರಭವಧ್ಯತಾಂ ಕೋನ್ವರ್ಥ ಸ್ವಯಾತ್ಯನ್ನ ಕಾಮೋ ಆಮತ್ತಿರಂದಿಗೆ ಆಘಾತಂ ನಿಯಮಾನಸ್ಯ ವದ್ಯಸ್ಯೇವನ ದುಷ್ಟಿದಾಂ ಶ್ರುತಂ ಜ ದುಷ್ಟವದೃಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಪರ್ಧ ಅಸೂಯಾತ್ಯಯುವ್ಯಯೈ ಬಹುವಂದ್ರಾಯ ಕಾಮತ್ವಲ್ ಕೃಷಿವಚ್ಚಾಮಿ ನಿಷ್ಫಲಂ ಅಂದರಾಯೇರ ವಿಹರೋ ಯದಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಸ್ವನುಷ್ಠಿತಾಃ ತೇನಾವಿನರ್ಜಿನಂ ಸ್ಥಾನಂ ಯಥಾ ಗಚ್ಛತಿ ದಕ್ಷಿಣೋ ವಿಶ್ವೇಹ ದೇವದಾಯಜ್ಞೈ ಸ್ವಲೋಕಮ್ಯಾದಿಯಾಜ್ಞಿಯಾಃ ಮುಂಜೀತ ದೇವತ್ತತ್ರ ಭೋಗಾನ್ ದಿವ್ಯಾನ್ ನಿಜಾರ್ಜಿನಾನ್ ಸ್ವಪುಣ್ಯೋಜಿತೆ ಶುಭ್ರೇ ವಿಮಾನ ಉಪಗೀಯತೆ ಗಂಧರ್ವೈರ್ವಿಹರೇನ್ ಮಧ್ಯೆ ದೇವೇನಾಂ ಹೃದ್ಯವೇ ಶತ್ರು ಸ್ತ್ರೀಭಿ ಕಾಮಗಯಾನೇನ ಕಿಂಗಿನೀ ಜಾಲಮಾಲಿನ ಕ್ರೀಡನ್ನ ವೇದಾತ್ಮವಾದಂ ಸುರಾಕ್ರೇಶ ಮರುಮೃದಾಃ ತಾವಲ್ ಪ್ರಮೋದೇ ಸ್ವರ್ಗೇ ಯಾವಲ್ ಪುಣ್ಯಂ ಸಮಾಪ್ಯತೆ ಕ್ಷೀಣಪುಣ್ಯಂ ಪದತ್ಯರುವ ಅನಿಚ್ಛನ್ ಕಾಲಚಾಲಿದಾಃ ಯಧ್ಯಧರ್ಮರಸಂಗ ಅಸತ್ವಂ ವಾಜಿನೇಂದ್ರಿಯಾಃ ಕಾಮಾತ್ಮ ಕೃಪಣೋ ಲುಬ್ಧ ಸ್ತ್ರೈಣೋ ಭೂತವಿಹಿಂಸಕಾಃ ಪಶೂನ ವಿಧಿನಾಲಭ್ಯ ಪ್ರೇರಭೂತಗಣಾನ್ಯಜನ್ ನರಗಾನಮಶೋಜನ್ ದುರ್ಗತ್ವಾನ್ಯಾತುಲ್ಬಣಂ ತಮ ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ದುಃಖೋದರ್ಖಾಣಿ ಕುರ್ವನ್ ದೇಹೇದೈ ಪುನಃ ದೇಹಮಾಭಜದೇ ತತ್ರ ಕಿಂ ಸುಖಂ ಮತ್ಯಧರ್ಮಿಣಾಃ ಲೋಕಾನಾಂ ಲೋಕಮಾಲಾನಾಂ ಮದ್ಭಯಂ ಕಲ್ಪಜೀವಿನಾಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣೋಭಿಭಯಂ ಮತ್ತು ದಿವರಾರ್ಧ ಪರಾಯುಷಾಃ ಗುಣಾಸೃಜಂತಿ ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಗುಣೋನುಸೃಜತೆ ಗುಣಾನ್ ಜೀವಸ್ತು ಗುಣ ಸಂಯುಕ್ತೋ ಭುಂಕ್ತೇ ಕರ್ಮಫಲಾನ್ಯಸಾಂ ಕರ್ಮಫಲಾನ್ಯಸೌ ಯಾವಲ್ ಸ್ಯಾತ್ ಗುಣ ವೈಷಮ್ಯಂ ತಾವಂ ನಾನಾಂತಮಾತ್ಮನ ನಾನಾಂತಮಾತ್ಮನೋ ಯಾವಲ್ ಪಾರತಂತ್ರ್ಯಂ ತದೈವ ಹಿ ಯಾವದಸ್ಯಾನ್ ಸ್ವತಂತ್ರತ್ವಂ ತಾವದೀಶ್ವರದೋ ಅಭಯಂ ಯ ಏದಲ್ ಸಮುಪಾಸೀನಂ ಸೇ ಮುಖ್ಯಂತಿ ಶುಚಾರ್ಪಿತಾಃ ಕಾರವಾತ್ಮೂಲಕ ಸ್ವಭಾವೋ ಧರ್ಮಯೇವ ಚ ಇದಿ ಮಾಂ ಬಹುಧಾ ಪ್ರಾಹುರ್ಗುಣಂ ವಿಧಿಗರೇ ಸತಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಉದ್ಧವ ಉವಾಚ ಗುಣೇಷು ವರ್ತಮಾನೋಪಿ ದೇಹಜೇಷು ಅನವಾವೃತಾಃ ಗುಣ ಎಂದ ಬದ್ಯತೇ ದೇಹಿ ಬದ್ಯತೇ ವಾ ಕಥಂ ವಿಭೋ ಕಥಂ ವರ್ತೇ ದಿವಿಹರೇ ಕರ್ವ ನ್ಯಾಯೇದ ಲಕ್ಷಣೈ ಕಿಂ ಭುಂಜೀದೋ ವಿಸಜೆ ಚೈದಾಸೀನಯಾದಿ ವಾ ಏಕದಚ್ಯುತಮೇ ಬ್ರೂಹಿ ಪ್ರಶ್ನಂ ಪ್ರಶ್ನವಿದಾಂ ವರ ನಿತ್ಯಬದ್ಧೋ ನಿತ್ಯಮುಕ್ತ ಏಕಮೇವೇದಿ ಮೇ ಭ್ರಮಾಃ So, those are the 37 verses in the in this 10th chapter, where Krishna has taken a lot of effort to explain this to Uddhava. So there you have seen Sri Bhagavan Vaja. The first verse itself, Mayodidesha vahida swadharmeshu mada ashraya varnashrama kula acharam agamalpa samacharel. Krishna says, ಮಯೋದಿದೇಶು ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೇಶು ಅವಹಿತ ಅಕಾಮಾತ್ಮ ಮದಾಶ್ರಯ ವರ್ಣಾಶ್ರಮ ಕುಲಾಚಾರಂ ಸಮಾಚರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ದೀಸ್ ಭಾಗವತ ಧರ್ಮಂ ವಾಟ್ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸ್ಪೋಕನ್ ಎರ್ಲಿಯರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಎರ್ಲಿಯರ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ಸ್ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಟೇಕ್ ದಟ್ ವೆರಿ ಸೀರಿಯಸ್ಲಿ ವಿಥೌಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಎನಿ ರಿಸಲ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ವರ್ಕ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ಆನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿಥೌಟ್ ಕಾಸಿಂಗ್ ಎನಿ ಅಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಫಾರ್ ಭಾಗವತ ಧರ್ಮಂ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಎಕ್ಸಿಕ್ಯೂಟ್ ವರ್ಣಾಶ್ರಮ ಧರ್ಮ Varnashrama dharma should be executed. So, in the Bhagavad Gita also, when Krishna spoke about this thing, he spoke about Varnashrama dharma. Here also, Krishna is bringing the Varnashrama dharma back again. Varnashrama acharam, so he says, Varnashrama ulajaram agamatma samacharel. Varnashrama dharma has been, is the best process whereby one can execute Karma Yoga. This is why it is spoken, reason why Varnashrama has come here. Because through Varnashrama Dharma, Karma Yoga can be easily executed. Let's look at it this way. In the Varnashrama Dharma system, as you all know, at least theoretically what it means, although we don't live that Varnashrama Dharma, the four divisions of the in the society, Brahmanam, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. So the four divisions created for what purpose and four qualities associated with that. So those who have the qualities relate, connected with the Brahmana, they were referred to as Brahmanas, similarly as the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and the Shudras. So if you observe carefully, you will notice there
that the purpose of creating this division, this is exclusive to Vedic philosophy. All other religions in this world, you can study any other religion, Buddhism, Islam, Christianity, any other religion, not being critical of them, because they have missing this Varnashama Dharmam in their society. They want to bring everybody up in this world to a higher, religiously develop them in the, on the spiritual side. Vedic philosophy is saying it's not possible to do that. You can't put everybody together and bring them up. What will happen is the standard will come down. You won't go up. Instead, the Vedic thinking, the sages, because they are so kind to us, out of their compassion to us, they sense the problem. What they said was, let one group of people among all take spiritual life very seriously. Very seriously in the sense that they have to abide by those laws they have set up. Krishna has set up this law. We didn't set it up. Nobody set this up. Krishna set up the laws. And he said, quality explained for the Brahmana. Those quality, people who have got that quality, you will put them under the title Brahmana. You give them the title as Brahmana. What are they? Shamodamattava shaujam kshandi arjavam evaja jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahmagarma subhavajam. Very few qualities, preliminary qualities are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavadam, more mentioned, but in the other Puranas, and also you will find in the Smriti, much more in depth, a Brahmana's activities. A Brahmana's activities are explained in detail, what is expected of a Brahmana. So when one has come to that level, and if you have a group of people in that caliber, then they can be a model for the rest. That's the only way you can develop the people in this world. Because when we have one group of people who are free from material attachment, who are working 24 hours for spiritual advancement, who are executing their work for the benefit of others without expecting anything in return, selflessly, and who is completely surrendered to the absolute truth or for spiritual realization, the rest of the society will look up to them, and that will give them the impetus or inspiration to go up, to follow them. That's the only way you can lead the society. Instead, if we say, I'll give you the best example in this. When Lord Buddha came, what he did was, the easiest, in fact, Lord Buddha didn't do this. It's his followers who does all the thing, as usual. Always the followers create the trouble. Followers, what they did was, they wanted to get people to their side. So, the Vedic philosophy, they wanted to reject. They wanted to reject Vedas. So, in that process, what they did, first thing, they propagated this principle. Look, in your Vedic system, you have got these divisions, and they are higher, you are lower. And why should you tolerate this? Come to our system. Everybody equal. We are all equal. So, everyone started moving. Anyway, we are all equal, so let's go to the other side. All men equal. What happened? That equality lasted for a long time, for some time. But in due course, the very principle of Buddhism, which was based on Lord Buddha's theory of ahimsa, they have thrown into the sea. It never existed anymore after that. It was finished there. Now, what do you see? Those countries where Buddhism is supposed to be the predominant religion, there, slaughtering animals and killing each other has not anymore a problem. It's not a problem. And they are supposed to be following Lord Buddha as well. Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Because that it is not possible to bring everyone together. In spiritual life, we were discussing this. Our Avadhuta Brahman also said this, didn't he? What did he say? He said that my spiritual life is my spiritual life. I have to go on. Everyone may not have that intense motivation to go in the spiritual path. Those who have got that, they are the Brahmanas. Those who have got the intense commitment for spiritual life, they are the Brahminical nature in them. And that you cannot take it away from them, it will stay in them. And similarly, the others also, we saw the qualities of Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they are all mentioned like that. When this Brahminical element is missing in the society, what happens? The society is headless, headless chickens. They are running around without any idea what to do. Then whoever clever, they will manipulate the society. So therefore, in Krishna system or in the Vedic system, this element of Brahmana is necessary. Brahmana is necessary. So, and that Brahmana has to be based on the qualities. Birth may help, but if the by birth, if he doesn't have the quality, then it is useless. Whereas another person who has the qualities, even if he may not have birth, Nalavashi says he should be accepted as a Brahmana, which is rare also to find, because qualities are not easily achievable in that way. So, here, what's happening now, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told Arjuna to take to karma, isn't it? Karma Yoga. And in that process we saw how Varnashrama Dharmam can help to practice Karma Yoga properly. It helps to practice Karma Yoga properly. Because when you see there is a society, there is a group of people who are renounced, who have freedom from greed and freedom from fame, for acquiring fame, acquiring followers, acquiring wealth, but completely absorbed in serving the Supreme Lord through surrender and devotion, obviously anyone who comes into contact with them will have its impact on them. Would they not? So when someone sees somebody selflessly working for others' benefit, why? Brahmanas live a life like that for the benefit of others. For the benefit of others. By doing that way, the benefit that derives the whole world, not only for them. They are not working for themselves. They are working for the whole world. This is why their life is so valuable. Therefore, Krishna has a special recognition of that for the Brahmana's life. Krishna also recognizes that their service is invaluable. So therefore, Krishna said, they should be maintained. They should be looked after. Not looked after means, we'll come to that. What does looking after means? So, generally because they are renounced and detached from material life and they have such total commitment to spiritual life, they become the guiding force behind the society. So, what is expected from them is, in return, they have the ability to distribute that knowledge of Krishna consciousness to everybody in for their benefit. So in other words, there is a spiritual control of the human society so that the human society don't go in the wrong direction. It is required. Otherwise, when that control goes away, what happens? The society gets misguided. They think that something else is important in life. The principle of spiritual life goes away, and also the consciousness of the human society turns into animals. No, animalistic, animals level. So that's why it is important. I'll just read out something happened when Prabhupada discussed this with the devotees. In Vrindavanam, in a morning walk, one of the sannyasis, Hridayananda Goswami accompanying Prabhupada, ask this question. Prabhupada, generally in colleges in the West, they charge some fee for going to the college. What is our position? Prabhupada's answer, no, we don't charge any fee. There is no question of money because the Brahmanas, they will teach free. They require money because they have to give fat salary to these rascals. But we haven't got to. And even if we have to feed them, we produce our own grain. So where is the question of taking money? This is Prabhupada's answer to that. Why do we have to pay money and employ people to teach the science of Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada is asking. Our business is only to tell others Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. We study it ourselves to our best capacity. What we have understood, we follow in our life and we teach this to others. That's all Prabhupada meant. Then, he says, how much does this course of study cost? Prabhupada is asking. It costs nothing. If you simply come here, you understand everything. We don't charge anything. But how can we charge? We are servant of Krishna. Krishna says, you speak, so we are speaking. That's all. Because actually, who is speaking? Krishna has told us to speak, what to speak, isn't it? That's what we are speaking. So who should get the money paid? If you have to pay, you have to pay Krishna. Nobody else. But if somebody out of sympathy gives something, we don't refuse, but we have no cost. We are working ourselves as far as possible and maintaining ourselves. But anyone who comes, we don't charge anything, so there is no cost. There is no official cost. So, in that way, in the third canto of Bhagavatam also you will see that when we're talking about the when you're talking about the service, knowledge by surrender and submissive inquiries and service. So, Prabhupada mentioned there that this knowledge you cannot teach. It's not, it is something to be realized. So, Prabhupada said, in New Delhi, the capital, there is a neighborhood which is called Chanakyapuri, and all the foreign embassies are there. Your American embassy is also there, Prabhupada said. So, he was a great politician. While he was a politician, he was still living in a cottage. He was not accepting any salary because he was a Brahmana. Once he accepts, Brahmana cannot accept any salary. Just like you have accepted me as your Acharya, but you do not pay me any salary. Of course, somebody wanted to do that. This is forbidden. The teacher will not accept salary. Then he comes down to the Shudra platform. The Shudra accepts salary. I serve you, you pay me. And the Brahmana will distribute knowledge freely and the Kshatriya will give protection to the Brahmana. This is the system of Vedic system. I mean, 50 years ago, education in India, there was no charges. But even then, there was another sannyasi, Pushtakrishna, who was present at that time. He still could not get this point to his head. It seems that he asked the question again, and that is supposed to be the Brahmana's class too, the professors, you say. The professors in the modern universities. He misunderstood that they are also like the Brahmanas. They are the educated class of people. Prabhupada says, no, they are not Brahmanas. Those who give education, exchange of money, they are not Brahmanas. Just like we are lecturing educating people, we don't say that give us salary. We simply ask them, please come, therefore we are making food. I'll give you food, I'll give you a good seat, please come in here. So those, these so-called teachers, they first of all set up salary. What salary you will give me? That's dog's business. That's not Brahmana's business. Brahmana will never ask. Brahmana is eager to give lesson only. That's all. That's Brahmana's business. Now, the school, college, the teacher is also depending on the salary. So they are Shudras. So what teaching they will give? Teaching is the business of the Brahmana, no salary. Formerly, all the Brahmanas, they used to have that. It's called Tola, Chatushpayi. Brahmana will sit down anywhere and invite that if you like, you can come and take some teachings from me. Then, that's where this discussion happened. Then again, one devotee asks this question, Yogeshwar. He says, one, Prabhupada says here, you take prasadam, but why salary? Where is the question of salary? Where is vairagyam? Where is announcement? So, in all circumstances, the salary process should be stopped. One who wants salary, he can work outside. Yogeshwar. They are supposed to be the educated class too, Brahmanas. Prabhupada. No, they are not Brahmanas. Those who give education in exchange for money, they are not Brahmanas. For instance, we are lecturing, educating people. We don't say, give a salary. We simply ask them, please come. But these so-called teachers, who first of all bargain for a salary, what salary will you give me? That's a dog's concern. That's not a Brahmana's concern. A Brahmana will never ask about a salary. Brahmana is eager to see what people are educated. Take free education and be educated, be a human being. This is a Brahmana's concern. So, there was this discussions often happen, and there Prabhupada has mentioned also that of the six occupational duties of the Brahmana, how important it is to take this as their main occupation of what they have learned from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. They should hand that over to others without expecting one penny from anyone. This is the principle of Vedic tradition. Sadly enough, in the modern world, this understanding is very difficult to get through. This is what Prabhupada was expecting people to do, as far as I have understood and many others have understood. So therefore, the important thing to realize here is, Varnashrama Dharmam helps. And in Varnashrama Dharmam, this sector of the person's duty, as according to this Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra development, is purely for this purpose, so that this system prevails and that develops. What will happen? Dharmam Varnashramanam Shudhipada Vihidam. It is from this Varnashrama Dharmam that bhakti will come. How? That question will come. When there are people who are devotees, who are executing spiritual life with purity and in all honesty, then others in the society will look up to them. And seeing their devotion and purity, it will bring some benefit to everybody in the society. Everyone cannot run at the same time. It's not possible. Everyone is going at different paces in their spiritual life, at different paces. You have to allow for that. But this Varnashrama Dharmam will keep, because it is mentioned in the Shruti, Shrutipada Vikidam, what will happen? Tvalparatvena Bhaktyaha. That, and if it is executed with truthfully, honestly, kurvande andarvirageihi, the result will be vairagyam will come to that person. Otherwise not. Otherwise what will happen? Like in the modern world, what we see here, that the vairagyam will go first. And then so many different ideologies will fight each other for supremacy. One wants to push the other one out. And everybody is telling each other that, look, you have to be honest. And they'll say, you have to be honest. Everyone is talking about honesty, but every time, everyone is at the same time is ripping off as much as they can from the system. So this is what will happen. So you can see how skillfully or how carefully these things have been thought of by the sages who gave all these things to us, so that we follow and we live peacefully in this world. That was all they wanted. They didn't want anything from us. They gave us the blueprint, or they gave us the formula, how we can execute spiritual life in this world by living a life in that pathway. So, that's why Varnashrama Dharma. So that's what Krishna is saying here, that mayadide shavahidaha sodharmeshu madashrayaha varnashrama kulacharam agamatma samacharem. So first thing to do is Varnashrama Dharmam, Kulacharam. That Varnashrama, when Krishna spoke about these things, Kulacharam, based on the particular, for example, someone who is born in a Vaishya tradition, he executes his activities on that tradition. And Shudra also, they are all making progress at the same time. And they all feel at the same time, they are part of a system where they get inspired from the Brahminical qualities, from the Brahmana's instructions. And in return, the Kshatriyas maintained them. So this was the principle in the Varnashrama Dharma. So that's what Krishna has, he has spoken here, that mayadide shavahida sodharmeshu madashrayaha varnashrama kulacharam agamatma samachare. Krishna says, first thing is that Varnashrama Dharma must be executed for everybody's peace, and that brings peace in the society. Look at our own modern society today. Because we have no this Varnashrama Dharma system, what happens? That you can see, those who are after wealth, they manipulate the whole systems in this world, isn't it? The modern economic crisis, what's all developing now, where does it come from? It's coming from only because of the lack of proper leadership in the whole society. The leaders are considered to be those who are who have learned how to how to exploit the system, and in that, because they are overpowering greed behind it, isn't it? The greed is the driving force behind it. So the more a person gets greed, the greed develops inside. Automatically he is thinking the shortcut method to make more wealth. And they are not Brahmana qualities, they are Vaishya qualities. Vaishyas have this nature, endeavoring hard, very hard to make wealth, because that is ingrained in them and it's difficult to separate that out from them. And that will continue wherever they do it, they'll do that. That creating wealth is in them all the time. But because there is no, it is not accompanied with dharmam, therefore we have this chaotic situation. Anything, Vaishyas are also necessary in the society, but at the same time, they also should be controlled by dharmam, and that's the duty of the Brahmana. Because the absence of the Brahmana, that dharmam is missing in the society. We are living in such a society that we see that everything is happening according to their, the person who is executing such activities has no understanding of dharmam. Therefore, Krishna is saying here, Rashtra Kulajaram Akamatma Samajare, Akamatma Samajare, that dependence on Krishna is important. Without that, if we execute any karmam in this world, that karma will never be fruitful. It will not have its proper result. So, in order that all the human society, when they execute their karma, if it has to be dependent on Krishna, karma should be dependent on Krishna, that means the Brahminical culture is necessary. Agamatma samachare. That dependence on Krishna is necessary. So, that's what Krishna is said in here, say, is mentioned here, that without coming on the way of executing the Krishna consciousness part of the Bhagavata Dharmam, one should be able to execute Varnashrama Dharmam in this world, thereby the necessary purity will develop inside. If Karma Yoga is executed properly, what will happen is the purity will develop inside, so that all what the sages have taught us in the Shastram will be clear to us. We will get that clarity within us. Otherwise, no matter how many times you read Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, you will still won't understand what they are saying. We will still won't understand what they are saying. And the reason for that is the Chitta Shuddhi is not there. The purity is not there inside. Sometimes, as you know, when we read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you feel inspired by some of the points that's, and you also feel that it is right. What Krishna is saying is right thing. And we also know from the great authorities, acharyas and great devotees, that they have stuck with this throughout their life. And when we take those principles, we start thinking, why? I try to follow it, but it's not possible to do it, they say. Isn't it? Sometimes we say like that. I'm trying to do it, but it is not possible. I forget it when I'm in a particular situation. I go out of it. And I start doing something which is against, and later on I come to realize I've done something wrong. I should go back again, and how do I do it? They ask this question, isn't it? Many people ask that question. How do I control my mind in that situation? What you have to remember is here, is that it is not a one-off thing that you can do. Mind, by nature, is not a one-off thing that you can control at one point. What we have to do, or what the sages have told us to do, or what they have done and shown to us was, from an early day in life itself, if you develop this Krishna conscious culture in us, means taking the knowledge from Krishna, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you practice it in due course, these kind of problems will go away on its own. On its own, it will go away. It will not come and disturb us or bother us. They in itself are not the important issue. Important issue here is how to absorb this knowledge what Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and develop that. Now we are thinking, most of the things I understand, it's only one or two problems I have got like this. If I have thought that I am perfect, I am not perfect. I am nowhere near perfection. Perfection is only when we have understood this message what Krishna is speaking, the Ekadasham and Bhagavad Gita. And that Swamshigaranam. Swamshigaranam means we become that. We have to become that. not it stays in our memory. No, it goes into the heart. Not here, but here. So when that happens, that is when it starts working. We can't draw it from like a computer thing. You can't draw the file out at the time when you need it. It has to happen in a natural way from inside. So therefore, that is why it is said like this. Two things in the body, the head and the heart, isn't it? Head can store the information, but while working things in practice, the heart has to respond to it. I have not put my mind to it, we say like that, isn't it? Why? Because the mind is saying, no, I don't want it. I only want to use the head and solve the problems. So solving problem is the head has to stop, and rather the mind should start stepping in into these things. So anyway, what we are coming back to is this, that executing Varnashrama Dharma we are talking about, Anvichheda Vishuddhatma Dehinam Vishayalparam Guneshu Tattvadhyayena Sarvarambha Vivaryayam. Krishna says here, Vishuddhatma Vishayalparam Dehinam Guneshu, that by executing Dharma properly, one gets purified, and such a person, what he should understand, Vishuddhatma Dehinam Vishayalpanam. It's a very subtle thing it is there. But if you get it, you got it. If you got it, it's good. If you haven't got it, then you have to leave it. That's how it is. Because this is where Sushma Buddhi comes. Sushma Buddhi means your finer intelligence. In other words, ability to think through certain things. Why Krishna is saying like this? What does Krishna say here? Let's look at it. Anvichheda Vishuddha Alpa Dehinam Vishayalpanam. If you have executed your spiritual life in this way, as he said in the first verse, and if you are purified, the first thing you will see in this world is the misery of those people who are working hard to become happy in this world. Many people are working hard in this world, isn't it? And why they are working so hard? They are working so hard because they want to become happy. Now, Krishna is saying here, if you have purified yourself and you are pure, then you will see that they are not becoming happy. But we are not recognizing, so that means we are not pure. That's what it simply means. You have to think about this a little deeper. You have all these things requires a lot of reflection, because it is not something written like a commandment, that instruction, take this. No, not like that. It is, first of all, Krishna wants us to analyze ourselves, our own body, our own mind, our own state of consciousness. And then only you can move further from there. That's why I'm saying, this 10th chapter is a very subtle chapter. The more you delve into it, and more you start reflecting on it, many people don't have so much time for reflection and all that. I'm aware of that. So therefore, whether talking Ekadasha Skandam now is worthwhile or not, I don't know. I am myself in doubt about it. Because unless you give time to all these things, it's not going to have any benefit. What we call it is Kandakshobham. Kandakshobham means the throat, waste in the throat. But to tell you the truth, that Ekadasha Skandam means developing this thought process going. First thing Krishna is saying here, the first step itself is, Anvichheda Vishuddhatma Dehinam Vishayalpanam Guneshu Tattvadhyanena Sarvarambha Vipadyayam. Then, in this world, people are working very hard. They are called Vishayalpanam because they are finding happiness in Vishayam, in sense objects. And they are all working for the sake of becoming happy. But if you very carefully observe them, you have to observe people very carefully, you will see one thing, they are not getting happiness. On the other hand, what they are getting, it is distress in life. Many people won't agree with this, would they? They'll say, I worked for it, I made it, and what else they say? You know, I'm so happy because I've done it, basically. And you go and tell him these things. He will say, well, Krishna has got it wrong. He will say, that will be the answer. Krishna has got it wrong. So this is the difficult thing. Any young man, especially after a decent education and he start gaining money and all that, you tell him these things. Oh, he for him, he, this is a, for another world. Or kept for... But this is intelligence. This is intelligence. It is this maturity in early life is what makes a person's spiritual life successful. At least at the age of 50, we should get it. Because at least by 50, we have not only heard Krishna's words, we have also seen through our eyes our own example. Work in this world very hard to become happy, but the 50 are more in distress. Is it not? Or are somebody, have you seen anyone in this world? You look at a child who is 3 or 4 years old. Child is playing, and so happily the child is playing. And then look at that child when he is 80. What the child is like. Have you, who is happy? The child 3 years or the same person when he is 80? So to understand this point, first of all, Chitta Shuddhi should be there. Unless there is that purity inside, you will not be able to appreciate these statements from Krishna. Krishna is very open and forthright about this, and we are not very qualified students. That is the problem. We are not very qualified students. And therefore, Krishna is also telling later the symptoms of a proper disciple who comes to spiritual life and spiritual master. Both are spoken. And then you will notice that why we didn't recognize these things early in life. You can see that. So, anyway, important thing is, Gunesha Tattvadhyayena Sarvaramba Vibhayayam. That's what he said. Sarvaramba Vibhayayam. What will happen? If you have recognized this point, first thing what you will do in life is, you will give up all unnecessary endeavor in this life to become happy. Unnecessary endeavor in this life to become happy. Sarva Aramba Vibharyayam, he says. Aramba means to begin something. You see, many people have a lot of many new projects, isn't it, in life. And they, especially if the times are good, I think in the credit crunch not many projects are coming out. But suppose there was no credit crunch and Pound was doing very well and everything was wonderful, then you won't get people to sit and listen to Bhagavatam. They will be very busy with their projects going through their mind. I have got so many new projects laid out so that I can make more money for this year, more money for next year. And you know, this is not to be discussed because this is common. We are seeing day and night. So, but Krishna is saying here that one who has come to that platform, what first thing he will read is, Sarvaramba Vibharyayam. It's all useless, all these things for my spiritual life. He will realize that point. That's why a certain degree of purity is essential in the beginning. And to get that purity is to do the Karma Yoga process. You can see the connection, where it's coming from. Why Karma Yoga is stressed? Why freedom from the serving Krishna without motivation is necessary to get that purity? Anybody has to do that. It is the same process. Look at any other mission, not only ISKCON. Any other mission you take, they all are doing the same thing. Because this is common to everyone. It's common to everyone. In even other religious processes also, in Christianity also, in the early days there was a system like this. But in due course it got changed. That you can't do anything, like we are changed. Now so many places changes happen. But principle of Karma Yoga is there in every religion. That they may not call it as Karma Yoga, but they know that if they want to sit peacefully and absorb in meditation or chanting or to do any spiritual activity, your mind has to become very peaceful. That's what called Shandi, isn't it? Krishna calls it as Shandi. Ashandasya kuta sukham, Krishna says. One who has no Shandi, what happiness has he got? In the Bhagavad Gita you will see that verse later. Ashandasya kuta sukham. One who has no Shandi, peaceful inside, he has no happiness either. So, Shandi is the first thing. In order to come to that stage, Karma Yogam is necessary. And when one executes Karma Yogam, what will happen to him? He will acquire that purity, and the purity will bring peace to him. And when he gets peaceful, he can execute your spiritual life properly. Otherwise, it's not possible. So, in every society, in Krishna consciousness, particularly in spiritual life, it is one of the foremost requirements. Mandatory requirement, Karma Yoga.
So from there you can see where now having said that, this is all up to the point when we are talking about Arjuna. Isn't it? We are talking about Arjuna up to this point. Now, because it is Uddhava, the stage has changed. The whole scene has changed now. Krishna says to Uddhava, what does Krishna say to Uddhava? Krishna says, Suttasya Vishaya Loko Dhyayadova Manorathaha Nanatmadatvad Vibhala Tatha Vedalpadir Gunehim. Very important point. Suttasya Vishaya Lokaha Dhyayadaha Manorathaha Say yatha manatmadatvad vibhalaha tatha gunai vedatmadi. Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, suptasya vishaya loko, that when you are dreaming in the night while sleeping, suptasya vishaya lokaha, that what you are experiencing when you come back to the vacant state, you immediately agree that it was just a dream, isn't it? It didn't exist. But it existed at the time when you were in the dream state. So Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Suptasya Vishaya Loka. So that Vishaya Loka means that world of sense enjoyment, what you are experiencing in Suptasya, in the sleep or in the dream state. Similarly, Dhyayadova Manoradha. That Manoradha means when you are in your daydream, mental chariot, just like all of us do, isn't it? Sometimes we sit and we dream in our mind. And most of the time that's what's going on. A long dream throughout the day. In the middle some chanting happens, in the middle something else happens. Few things happens in between. If you analyze your own mind, you can see the moment you come to life, when you come out of the deep sleep in the morning, and you start your activities, right up to night you go to bed, only one thing is happening, dreaming. Manorayatam means mind is making so many ideas, plans, and you are moving through this way, that way, doing so. In between, oh, my spiritual master told me to chant 16 rounds, I'll put a package for that also for some time. And then something else here and there. But mind is still not there. It's not anywhere there near to that. Mind is still absorbed, this manoragam. Mental chariot, you are still traveling in that mental chariot. You are still traveling. That's what he's saying. Dhyayadova manoragaham. Then, nanatmadatvad vibhala tatha bhedatmadeir gunaihim. Similarly, in the daytime, Krishna says, when you are so-called your jagrat state, so-called jagrat, which is basically this dream state, manoratha state, everything what you are seeing, what you are doing, and what you are experiencing is also false. Very difficult to accept that, isn't it? When Krishna is saying like that, it's very difficult to accept that. Why? Why is it difficult? Nanatmagatvarvihala tada bhedatmadhir gunaihi. Keep giving the reason for that. Krishna's point is this. Everything in the creation, our mind, our intelligence, everything, is based on three modes of nature. Isn't it? Three modes of material nature. Sattvam, Rajogunam, Sattvagunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Because these three modes of nature and its mixture is everything, what you see in this creation. Everything is nothing but a mixture of the three modes of nature. Nanatmatva dhivala tatha bhedatmadir gunaihi. So, when we perceive this world, and what we see in this world is all different, isn't it? Different individuals, different material elements mixed in different ways. This is what this world is all about. World is nothing but a mixture of material elements mixed in different ratios or different forms and different shapes and different modes of nature working with people. If you combine all these things, that is this external world, what we are fighting with day and night. Yes or no? Yeah. So if you accept that, at least theoretically, if not completely in mind, but theoretically if you accept that, Krishna is saying, nanatmagatva dibhana tadha bhedatmadir gunehi. In other words, that this gunas, these three modes of nature, has affected our intelligence, D. And it makes us to see everything different one from the other.
everything different one from the other. For example, you look at so many people in this world. So many people in this world. They are all different, isn't it? In their form, they are different. In their shape, they are different. In their behavior is different. Their mind is different. So what do we say immediately? Oh, we are all different people. So, and we designate them in different ways, like based on nationality or based on religion or based on color or based on something else. So all these differences has come, Krishna says, is purely due to the three modes of material nature working with the material elements together. Because it is like that, what we see in this world as we are seeing today is not the truth. Krishna's point is that. Nanatmagatva means this variety. What you are experiencing in this world, vibhala, it has no meaning. Nanatmagatva jubila, tadha bhedatmadhihi gunaihi. Bhedatmadhi, this bhedam or differences or this variety has come and projected in front of us. Why? Because of the gunas, three modes of material nature. So, Krishna is also trying to wake us up to this situation, to this reality, that although you may be thinking, everything I am seeing in the Jagrat is truth, and everything is the reality, he is saying to us, even they are not real. That is the reason why it is spoken like this. So, these things won't come, these realizations won't come easily, because you have to always accept Krishna's words very seriously. And you have to accept it and reflect through it. And Vijaranavaro Bhaktiya Vimuchir Naraha. Bhagavatam says like that. Vijaranavaro. This is called Vijarana. Vijarana means questioning and finding the answer yourself. Is what Krishna is saying is correct or not? Unless you have absolute faith in the Shastra, you can't analyze things from based on your eyes or based on your ear. You have to analyze things based on the Shastram. Shastram is telling us that Suptasya Vishaya Loka, Suptasya Vishaya Loka, then Dhyaya Lova Manoradhaha, that what you are experiencing in the dream state, all that as you come out of the dream state, how much you will accept that as a dream, and you are willing to reject it because it's a dream, as you call it. Similarly, all that you have been meditating on in your manoratham, or in the mental chariot, or in the so-called vacant state, dhyayadova manoradhaha, he says, nanatmagatvad vibhala, that nanatmagatvam, this variegatedness, has happened only because tadha bhedatmadir gunaihi, because all because of only one thing, the three modes of material nature. All due to three modes of material nature. So, when you are reading this Ekadasha Skandam, you have to always be able to adjust with Krishna's words and go along with Krishna's way of thinking. Because Krishna is putting forward something which science won't tell you these things. Because as far as science is concerned, three modes of nature doesn't exist. As far as they are concerned, everyone is different, isn't it? He's different, he's different, he's different. And therefore, but from the Upanishad's point of view, from the point of view of the great sages, they are taking away all that variegatedness and seeing the one thing that is in everything. They are seeing that one thing, what is in everything, common to all. No, they are not interested in all these varieties, what we are seeing in this world. How does that help? Because varieties have come from that one thing. That's why it's so important. So, suptasya vishayan loko, dhyayadova mano radhaha, nanatmagatvadhivala, tatha bhedatmadir gunaihim. Then, nanatvabuddhir mithya nanatmagatvad, sotnavan mano radhavacha. Then, just like what you have experienced in your dream is meaningless, mithya, is false as you experience. Similarly, what you are now, right at this point in this world, what you are experiencing is also in the same way it is mithya. It has also no meaning. Why? Because of this, nanatvam has come from the maya, from the three modes of material nature. And if you accept that, then you can see, to drive our mind, our way of thinking, to a much more subtle level. This is what Krishna is trying to bring us closer to the truth. As you get closer to the truth, you will see these differences will go. When does the difference exist? When there is no truthful understanding of the things. When there is no truthful understanding, we will see everything different. And then, what newspapers, what do? They take this variegatedness and analyze it whole day. What does television do? Exactly the same. Radio, that's the same thing. All media, everything, what they are doing is, they are throwing away the truth behind it, and they are taking what is not, nothing to do with the truth, and they are discussing that day after day, and we spend all our time in the discussion of this falsity. So, unless we have come out of it, what Krishna is going to explain later will not go into our head. That's why a devotee or a person who is seeking the truth, Satyanveshanam as it's called, a person who is seeking the truth or a devotee, he cannot afford to waste his time on issues like this, on the other issues of this world. They have no value because you have already come to a stage that you want to know what is the truth behind this, isn't it? That is why you have come to spiritual life. And Ekadashi Skandam and Bhagavad Gita is only teaching that one point, how to go further in spiritual life, how to get closer to the truth, what is the truth behind everything. So inquiry or seeker, or one who is seeking after the truth, cannot afford to discuss all the flimsy things of this world. We have to leave them away. That is no credence to us, because it's not important to know, because nanatmagatvadvibhara tatha bhedatmadir gunehi. That one part of that verse has answered that question, as far as Krishna is concerned. As far as Krishna is concerned, this whole creation, Krishna says, you have to only know this one line. Nanatmagatvadvibhara tatha bhedatmadir gunehi. If you want to fill your belly to get a job, you have to study all the other rubbish. But as far as the truth is concerned, Krishna says, Nanatmagatvadvibhara, this variety has come from where? Tatha bhedatmadehi gunehi. That bhedatmada bhedam, the differences all manifested because of the differences in the modes of nature. Modes of nature has created this, first of all. So that is the subtle side of that. Let's go into the next verse. Nuvruttam karma sevedam, pravruttam malparasya yel, jityasayam, sampravrutto, nadriyel karma jodhanam. Much more important words. More important than the last one. What is that? Nuvruttam karma seveda pravruttam malparatyajel jityasayam sampravrutto nadriyel karma chodanam. This is where Krishna is moving to Bhagavadam from Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, he pushed Arjuna to work. Uddhava, Krishna says, never touch work. If you do work, you are doomed, he says. That is a straight answer to Uddhava. Nadriyet karma chodanam. Why is that? If you tell Uddhava, remember this, Uddhava was almost same age as Krishna. 20 to 25. Maybe 2-3 years difference, but good friends, same age group. When was Ekadasham spoken? At the time when Krishna was departing from the world. Has Uddhava to be told to execute karmam at that time? Is that make any sense? To tell Uddhava, now think about Karma Yoga, Uddhava, start with Karma Yoga now. Makes no sense. So there, we can see the difference in the Bhagavad Gita and the Uddhava Gita. In Arjuna, at that particular time, Arjuna's position, he has to execute Karma Yoga. Even among us also, all our different age groups here, at a particular age in life, when you come to spiritual life first time, you have to think about Karma Yoga very seriously. But when you get to 50, 60, and when you know that the time is very limited, you have to take Ekadasham seriously. At that time, you can't think very much in terms of Karma Yoga, because Krishna will tell you what will happen then if you do that. Karma Yoga is the first step in the spiritual direction to begin with. And when it is executed properly and the proper purity has developed, then Ekadasha Skandam, Upanishad's knowledge will manifest in a person. He will understand what the sages want them to understand. But Uddhava's case, he is saying here now,
Nivurtam karma seveda pravurtam alparasthe jail. Jitnyasayam samprabhato nadriyel karma chodanam. That karma has got two kinds. Pravurtha karma and nivurtha karma. Pravurtha karma and nivurtha karma. Now, what Krishna is saying here is, karma should be done only what is necessary. Necessary means that is nivurtha karma. For example, women have to cook in the kitchen. That is nivurtha karma. That has to be done under all circumstances. Or, for the man is concerned, he has to go to work, earn some money. How much money? That question will come. Now, according to the Krishna's instruction, you should earn what is necessary for your living, basic living in this world. It should not become, because once you take into spiritual life, the karma and the position and the society, all these things goes away. You have to leave, say goodbye to all of them. At the age of 50 and 60 also, if you start thinking my society is important for me, my social life is important, what others will think about me, and when I go for a marriage, what will they think of? Oh, he's jobless, he's not doing any work, or if they start thinking about me like that, what will happen? Best thing is don't go for the marriage. That's the easiest thing to do. So, because you say to them that up to this age of 50, 55, I have done everything, what I have to do in the society. Now, I will, even if you are invited, you have to say to them that please carry on. You have all my blessings there. And you carry on and you have to know how to say nirti from that. If you don't learn that, what will happen? Krishna is going to say all that later, how that will happen. This karma has got one problem. What's that problem? Karma's problem is like this. Karma is a temporary thing. Soul is a permanent thing. If you tie a temporary thing with a permanent thing, it will not leave you. It will stay forever. For example, people come to spiritual life also. What do? They make spiritual life a social service. If you do that, you are finished. If you make your spiritual life a social service business, because it turns out like that at the end. That's what you can see here. So many examples. You yourself has to take your own associate friends whom you have associated with. Look through their own life. They have come, they thought that they're doing spiritual life. But what happened eventually? They got involved in some kind of, social service, right? Social service. Hospitals, schools, feeding, this, that and the other. All these are nothing but that. Nothing more than that. They are not going to take you back home, back to Godhead. They are not going to make you self-realize. It's absolutely clear. So, therefore, this world will honor you. This world will respect you for your achievements in that area. Oh, what you have done. You have done so much for this world. That's nice. That's good also. But at the same time, what you have to remember, what Krishna is saying here is, Nivurtam karma seveda, pravurtam karma seveda, nivurtam alparatejam, jitnyasayam sambravurte, jitnyasayam sambravurte, nadriyel karma jodana. Nadriyel karma jodana. But Krishna says that's not allowed. Pravurtam karma seveda, nivurtam alparatejel, jitnyasayam sambravurte, nadriyel karma jodana. Why is it not allowed? It is for this reason. That once you come to spiritual life, you are going to deal with something which is eternal. It is not based on the body. Karma is based on the body. That you will execute karma in this world. As I mentioned before, you come to spiritual life and you take to material activities. And maybe it appears a social service or service to the society, feeding poor, feeding this, that, and that. That's all good. It's not saying it's all wrong. But you are not moving further. You are stuck there. You are not going further because that is required in the beginning when you start spiritual life. To purify yourself as a karma yogam, it should be executed. So what he is saying here is that once you have got this Brahma Jityasa, remember we are talking about Brahmavaloka Dishanam. Once that Brahmavaloka Dishanam has come up inside, you cannot afford to waste your time for all these kind of things. You cannot afford to do that because time is running out.
from now on, once this Brahmava Logadishanam or Brahma, these are different words in the Shastram according to circumstance they are used, but in essence it's the same thing. Brahmava Logadishanam, Brahma Jijnasa, virtually the same thing. Strictly it's the same thing. So here he says here, once the Brahmava Logadishana has built up inside, you are not answerable to anyone in this world as far as karma is concerned. You're not answerable to anyone. Therefore, Krishna says, you should not start any new endeavor in life. Any new endeavor. Because if you start, what will happen? It will pull you down. One side inside, one side in the thoughts are strongly going up towards spiritual world and spiritual life. Other side, still karma is dragging you back to this world. That's what will happen. So you can see Krishna is saying, if you link something which is temporary with a permanent thing, the permanent thing will suffer, not the temporary thing. The temporary thing will become a permanent thing then. Can you see the logic in that? That karma has a certain place in life, and at some point you have to know also where to say goodbye to it. It is no point in dragging with you till the graveyard. Or I have, somebody says that even while dying in the hospital, he's still thinking that I have not paid my bills. Will you think like that? Will you be thinking about paying bills while leaving the body? Nobody thinks about it, isn't it? So paying bills, karma and all that is only reference to this body. Already you have come to the conclusion that you are now not this body, that realization is already there, although you have not completely understood and realized it, but still at least in principle you understood. And you want to grow progress in that direction. And if you start linking karma with that in the same way, what will happen is your Brahmajijnasa, Brahmavalokadrishanam will suffer. That Brahmavalokadrishana which has woken up inside will slowly go away from you. And you will go back into the karma again, the world of karma. And then you will get very busy with that. That is the problem with that. That is the problem with that. So therefore, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, in this particular verse you can see here, that Nivrittam karma seveda pravrittam malparate jail, jijnyasayam sampravrte nadriyel karma chodanam. That even if you have the provocation from inside, provocation means urge from inside to do karma. Krishna says, control it and turn inwards. That's Krishna's words. That even if you have the urge to do karma, control that urge or control that, stop that provocation from inside. Because in the world outside, as you know, there are so many things which will drive you to do things in different directions. That's why everyone in this whole world is running because of that, isn't it? There's so much urge inside to do so many things. Once you don't control that urge and direct your thinking or vision inwards, Krishna says that is what is necessary. That's what that means. Nadriyet karma chodanam. That's what that means. Karma chodanam means the urge from inside to do karma. Now, when I'm saying all these things, many of you who are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you may be thinking, why is this all something different than what I have been reading in the Bhagavatam? You won't find also these things there. There is a reason why I'm saying these things. Much more interesting than all these things is, Krishna explains everything to Uddhava in a fantastic way and makes Uddhava completely blissful after hearing Krishna's beautiful instructions in the Ekadasham. And at the end, Krishna says to Uddhava, he brings everything and ties it down to only one thing. What is that? Krishna consciousness. That is the beauty of Krishna's instruction. But if you come to Krishna consciousness in that way, as the way I mentioned now, like the way Krishna has spoken here, you will enjoy Krishna consciousness better. Otherwise, if Krishna consciousness is simply based on a few stories here and there, or simply based on somebody living somewhere else as my guru or spiritual master, simply on a worshipable form and style, and that may not give you that impetus to see what Krishna has given the importance to. So when you go through this process of Krishna, the way Krishna has presented, everything in the Ekadasham, ultimately Krishna will bring and tie it down to bhakti. That is the beauty of Ekadasha Skandha. Nowhere you will find this. Jnanam, Yogam, Sanghyam, Karmam, everything ultimately Krishna's lotus feet, the goal. That is the beauty of Ekadasha Skandha. When you study Ekadasham, your vision of Krishna consciousness gets different. That therefore, all these things has to be spoken in the beginning. And step by step, Krishna will open up us, our own eyes, and make us realize how wonderful spiritual life is. Karma chodanam, karmam, because karmam disturbs us. Karmam creates vasanas. Karmam creates bondage. Karmam creates disturbed mind. Karmam creates activity. Krishna says it doesn't help you to execute sadhana. It doesn't help to execute sadhana. Because therefore, it is spoken also here that nadriyat karma chodanam, once you have the brahma jityasa, one should not engage in that anymore. That's why it is spoken here. Example, that as I mentioned before, that this does not mean, oh, now that Krishna says don't do any work, I'm going to go home and sleep and I won't be doing anything. That's not what Krishna is saying. As I mentioned, nivrittam karma seveda pravrittam malparatyajayam. That nivrittam, every karma what you are doing has to be done as a nivritti. Nivritti means how to free yourself from that. For example, a mother is cooking at home for the children, for the husband, for the grandparents, so many people she is cooking. While cooking, she has to think that, she has to think like this, that whatever that is being cooked and offered, I have done my best, let them all enjoy. Whether they make, husband tells me the food is nice, or he criticizes me that the food is not cooked properly, or whatever, which is normal in every house now. Men get tired by 50, and then they catch all of their wives and start beating them up, saying, why have you cooked like this? This is not what I want. All questions starts coming up. So, why is this happening? That we are not thinking. Why? Nivrittam karma seveda, pravrittam malparatyajayam. Husband has not taken nivrittam karma seveda. He is thinking, oh, now it's 50. I got some proper time, free time to sit and enjoy my meal. It is in that mood we are approaching the food at that time. This is our weakness in us. Rather than we thinking that so many years I have eaten food, is it not enough that I have eaten now? That when is this going to finish? That is finishing the karma. But increasing the karma means getting absorbed in that sense gratification more. So, for a mother who is cooking food, she has to say it like this, whether they give me a good report or a good, they say that I've done a good job or not, whatever it is, I'm not going to take it very seriously. I have to do as a duty, I will do that and provide them with the food. So in that way, if you do that, whether they glorify you or whether they criticize you, in either case, you have to accept it that way and leave it at that. That is nivritta karma. So Krishna is saying here, that is as far as the housework is concerned. Now, as far as the office work is concerned, as far as the man is concerned, office work is also concerned. He also has to think in the same way. So many years I have served this family, so many society, and still, as Krishna said before, that there is not any happiness anywhere. Anyhow, there is not going to be any happiness anywhere. So I will do it as a duty. Beyond than that, I cannot afford to spend any more time on this. That thoughts has to come for the everyone. Everyone has to, because virtually this is the only way we will withdraw ourselves from this world. Otherwise, we will keep hammering here and there, something or the other, we will find it. So he's saying here, nivrittam karma seveda pravrittam malparatyajayam, that once you have got this brahmavaloka dishanam or brahma jityasa, we should not go and jump into this pit or mud pit of karma. It is compared to be like a mud pit of mud, and we should not go and jump into that. This is Krishna's instructions here. That because once you go to that stage, you are ready for practicing spiritual life seriously. What is that serious spiritual life? Seriously chanting. Seriously studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And absorbing in Shastram and developing spiritually. You are ready for that. So in order to get to that stage, at some point in life, we have to break away from this, what we have done rest of the life. What we have done rest of the life. Most of us, what we think is, 50, 55 coming, we are thinking, only now we have got the right opportunity to little bit enjoy life, isn't it? Just like they say, oh, after the time I have to go on my cruise, and things like that. So that's a different way of life. But spiritual life, if you are thinking of seriously, Krishna is saying here that the first thing is to recognize that at some stage you should not go and jump into the pit of karma further and muddy yourself with that. That's the point Krishna is making there. Nuvrtam karma seveda pravrtamal param tejal jnyasayam sambhavrto madriye karma chodanam. So therefore, there was an example that was mentioned here that whether they glorify you or whether they criticize you, still you should not take it very seriously. That's what Krishna's instruction is on this point. Nivrtam karma seveda pravrtam malparatyajal. So Krishna says, if you do like that, what will happen is the karma will leave you. If you could not execute karma yoga for a long period of time, because everybody may not have had that opportunity in the early years in life, because at that time nobody has said this or nobody took it seriously, my mind was absorbed in something else. But once you have come to spiritual life and Brahmavaloka Dishana has, you have taken it very seriously, then Krishna is saying here, at that point you have to know how to free yourself from the influence of karma, and that is spoken in this way. Whether it is a service at home or service at the office, if you do not think in these directions, it will not leave you. Because while by now, you will also recognize one thing, that in every karma, people who have executed that karma and they have experienced distress from that. They have experienced distress from that. Therefore, it is said that before you retire from this world, you have to retire within. You have to retire inside yourself first. If you are not retired inside, and you are thinking that after retirement I'll start my spiritual life. Many people say like that, isn't it? But you will not be able to do that because you are not retired yourself from inside. So therefore, first inside retirement is necessary before you retire externally. If you are retired inside, then it becomes much easier to retire life. Suktasya vishayana loka dhyayido va manoratha. That then nuvrtam karma seveda pravrtam alparatyajal adhyatma karma or social service activities, we spoke about that. Then, as I mentioned before, even in government service, one day you can retire, isn't it? Say 65. You can retire. But if you start linking your spiritual life with social services, you will never be able to retire. That never will happen. That is what warning Krishna has given here. That because pravritti means action or karma, belongs to anityam. Anityam means it's not permanent. It's a temporary thing. You should not link something which is temporary with something which is permanent. Spiritual life, self-realization, and enlightenment, all these are permanent things. They are not temporary things. It's not that I'll go and get enlightened, come back and do the same thing again. I'm leaving this once for all, once the enlightenment happens. So once you are gone into that direction, you can't go back and doing the same thing what you have done in your early days in life in ignorance. So that's why it is said like that. That therefore, anyone who has that discrimination in life will be able to leave these things at the right age without being any more concerned about it. Just there's a story about this, that there was one treasure hunt going on. Treasure hunt. In that treasure hunt, one treasure was kept in a forest, and was in the forest, and nearby there was a well which was not purely a well, there was no water or anything, but a deep pit. So everyone, one person came, and he was looking for the treasure. In that process, he fell into the pit. He fell down. He fell down, and then another person came. He also saw him, and he said, so it's here, he said. Because he fell down, he said, so he pulled the other man into it. That's what he did. He told the second person, look, the treasure is inside. Come along, we'll together do it, he said. The second one fell. So the next group of people were coming. They all saw that two are already there. They must be there. They also went and jumped into it. So one after the other, many people came and jumped into the pit and fell there. But one of them, who thought little different, he said, why should I go and jump into the same pit where they all have jumped? Now, if we say like that, what will the others say? He has gone crazy, isn't he? Because everybody has jumped into the pit. And therefore, the jumping into the pit was the right thing to do. Our society also, you take it, it's like that. It's not much different. The whole society will tell you, work like an ass from morning to night throughout the life and go to the pit. That's what it is saying. Isn't it? So, no, this is not enlightenment, this is not entertainment. These are the facts of life. That he does not want you to go after spiritual life. He doesn't want you to go after spiritual life. This society, not this society, the whole world, the fact is that nobody wants you to go into spiritual life. Because if you tell them about this, they will think you are crazy. And you are that one person who did not want to jump into the pit. And you are the one person who were thinking little different. You are thinking, why should I go and search for this and jump into that pit? Then they are saying that, look, it is here, come and join us. We are all having a part of it, share of it. So like this is the nature of the material world. Similarly, as far as this money and life is concerned, in this world also, what normally happens is that it becomes a craze in us. That money making, where is the end to it? You can spend the whole life working, making money, isn't it? Making new plans, making new ideas. And you can always say that I am busy making money. When will it come to an end? And therefore it is said like this, that when you need certain money, amount of money, for your bodily needs are concerned, but after that, if you continue to do the same thing the whole life, and in that process you did not utilize it for the right purpose for which it was meant, then Krishna says, what was the benefit from that? That Nivrittam karma sevidam. This is because we have given undue importance to karma. That's what Krishna says. Undue importance. Abhimanam, pride in karma. Karmam should not be for pride. Karmam should not be for vanity. Karmam is necessary. Krishna will say something more important than that. Krishna is saying there that look at others. Why are you working so hard and trying to do so many things? For what purpose? The purpose is this, that you are by executing this karma, what you are trying to do is to protect your body, to maintain your body. Remember this, Krishna says, in the process of executing that karma itself, your body is getting finished. While executing the karma itself, your body is dying and going away right in front of your eyes. You are not seeing that, Krishna says. Krishna has a point or no? Or is it Krishna is just saying something without any sense? But to capture these points, these finer points of spiritual life, you have to develop that understanding in the proper way. Because when Krishna says something, this is not Krishna's only. This is sages also say same thing. All the great acharyas say the same thing. All the great devotees say the same thing. So that cannot be wrong. We will brand up, they are all lazy people, they don't want to do anything, isn't it? But they can think deeper. That's why they are able to, out of compassion for us, the sages have given us this understanding of life. That Please don't lose your life in this thing called karma. Please don't get killed yourself, kill yourself in this karma and lose your purpose of your life for which you got this human body. Even if you have lost something in karma, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, every karma ends up in, it's a temporary thing, it will end up in distress only, one way or the other. Can you tell me anyone who has done karma and eventually became very happy? Not so far, I have seen any reports. Some people, they worked very hard, made a lot of money, and at the end they didn't know what to do with the money. Or the children fought right in front of them for their share. Who should get what? They'll fight each other. In many places, in different families, it happens in different ways. So, but the parents are thinking that, oh, it's my duty to make enough money for them so that they can live happily. This is all the ideas of the mind which creates in all of us. Our Krishna consciousness is also tied up with all these things only, nothing more than that. If I can live happily in this world without any illnesses, with sufficient to eat, we'll say to others like this, sufficient to eat, a good place to live, and if me and my family, means my wife, my children, if they can be happy, and also my parents, my in-laws, their parents, all of them, we all together, we can be happy. And if there is one Krishna or Gokulananda who can help me in all doing all these things to support my plans, I will do offer whatever I need to be offered for this to get my... Other people, what happens, that's not my concern. That's their problem. But my Krishna consciousness, I'm so Krishna conscious now, that if I can live happily in this world with my so-called family members, and my children, my grandchildren, and we together, all together, and my community, I am an important person. If they recognize me as an important person, I recognize them. I am invited for all the important functions. I am there right in the front with all the VIPs. I am there. Like this, social recognition. If I have all these things, and I am also a devotee added to all these things, that if Krishna can help me in all my plans, if Krishna can help me keep all these things going nicely, I will also make a nice contribution to the Krishna's plan, projects, whatever he wants, and mutually we will help each other. Me and Krishna will help each other. That doesn't work in spiritual life, unfortunately. These are all the foolish mind. I'm talking about our own story. It's all our own story I'm bringing back. Only thing, putting it through words. We are all in this boat. But if you come to Ekadasi Skandam, you have to little bit open up about all these things. Ekadasi Skandam is not the story of our Krishna consciousness. Ekadasi Skandam is the story of Uddhava's Krishna consciousness and personalities like that. Krishna wants to drive us out of all this stupidity in our head. Because this is what we have acquired in the name of Krishna consciousness all these years. And we think we are all highly Krishna conscious, we are. Look at us. How loyal we are to Krishna. Krishna says, I don't want any of your loyalty. All I want is to understand and get that pig-headedness from us and make us a little bit conscious of the nature of the soul. The soul is not looking for any of these things. That's why he said here that, first of all, Krishna says, if you have come to spiritual life, sit and think what is spiritual life, first of all. And where do you start that? Start with your own body. Where do you start that? Start with your own body. Don't think about your family, this, that and the other. That's all come and go. They are not going to stay like that. When you talk about the body, in the Shastram, there are reference to the body, the nature of the body. This has to be thought through and should be properly understood. With the body, we have three ignorances in us. There are three ignorances deeply inside in us. What are they? First thing is, I'm always caught thinking that I can keep this body clean. Isn't it? We're always thinking, oh, I'm very clean. I'm a Brahman, I'm clean. I'm wearing a dhoti, I'm putting a tilak, I'm clean inside. This is called an illusion. Body is never clean. This body, no matter how much you try, can never be clean. Because it's made of such elements, what is inside this body is such things, it can never be pure. So, by the very nature of this body cannot be kept clean. Therefore, that is one of the first Brahman. Brahman means a misunderstanding in our head. First misunderstanding with the body is concerned. Is that the second misunderstanding is that you can keep this body healthy. This is the second misunderstanding. You can keep this body healthy. You can never keep this body healthy. At some point it will kick you back. Somewhere it will let you down. Sometime it will let you down. Even with the best medical treatment, you will not be able to do it. Somewhere something will happen. We'll come to that, why it is like that. So, first thing to think that the body can be kept clean. Second illusion is that you can keep it healthy. Then the third thing is, I have to protect this body. This is the third thing. I have to protect this body. Where did this idea come from? That I have to protect this body. Because you don't know, or we don't know, our own connection with this body. What that connection is. Krishna is saying in that verse, what we spoke before, that Suptasya Vishayan Loga Dhyayadova Manoratha Which was the third verse. In that verse, this is implied, this nature of the body. Why? It is said like this, that these three things in reference to the body is manifest in us in different ways. How? When you realize, I am not this body, only then you will understand the first thing. I am not this body, this body is not mine, this body will be of no use to me. Three things you have to realize at a later date. In the first instance, these three ignorance existed. What is that? The three ignorance was the three things I mentioned. The body can be kept clean, the body can be maintained healthily, and the body can come body has to be protected by me. So those three things were in me as ignorance it stayed. When I realized that I am not this body, body is not mine, and body is of no use to me at any time. Body is of no use to you at any time. Why I am saying that is, or not I am saying, like Krishna is trying to open up a little bit more here. Krishna is saying here, actually this body, what is it? Just like the mind is nothing but a kind of a dream that has come about from the soul, isn't it? A much more grosser thing that has come out of the soul is this body. This body is nothing but a much larger and a grosser dream. That's what this is. When we have fallen into this ignorance that I am this body, I have completely lost sight of the soul, I completely lost sight of my identity, and I got victimized by that and fell into this situation, today what I am. Therefore I started thinking that I am now in a particular dream. This is a dream state I am in, where I am identifying with the body. So Krishna says, unless you wake up from that dream, which dream? That I am this body. And all these things what we spoke about, the three things with the body, he said that is the first thing to do. That wake up from that dream, what you are at the moment. Svapnasya Vishaya Loga, that's why that verse was spoken. Svapnasya Vishaya Loga, Dhyayadova Manoradhaha. And Nanatmadatva Bhivala, Tadha Bhedatmadev Gunehi. So once you understand that, and completely vicharana. Vicharana means if you scrutinize these words deeply, in light of these things spoken about the body, you will see that unless I wake up from this ignorance of the body, I cannot practice spiritual life. I cannot practice spiritual life. So the first thing in spiritual life is to that this material body is nothing but that is the root of a very, very big dream. It is from that this body has come about. Very big dream. That's where this has come about. Why? Because I got this body due to my karma vasanas and my subtle body, my thoughts, vasanas, vijaram, pravarti, the result of this body. Only thing is, it is manifested in a gross form in front of me. And it is this, with this foolish thing, I am identifying very stupid way. Is it not? So if I am identifying with this stupid body, Krishna says, if you have managed to wake up from that ignorance immediately, then you can make some progress in spiritual life. Otherwise it is not possible. That why is that? Because as far as the mind, the body is concerned, as the mind and body is concerned, that it is impossible to know what it is. Nobody knows this body. Doctors also don't know about this body. We are thinking probably doctors can, but even they will tell you, very learned doctors also will tell you, we also don't understand this body. We also don't understand this body. Doctors will tell you that. And because it is like that, no matter how much you try to identify with it, it's all useless. It's all useless because nobody knows it. It is in Shastram, the word used is apramanikam. Apramanikam means you don't know the basis of this body. You don't know the basis of this body because the body did not come according to my desire. It was thrown at me, isn't it? Just like you have no control on your dream, have you? You have no control on your dream. Similarly, this dream, or what is this, this dream is a gross dream of the living force inside. The soul which is inside, it's a much more grosser side, the dream, is this body. That's all it is. Much more grosser level is this body. So, suttasya vishaya, it's a subject which requires a lot of explanation, this chapter. Particularly all the verses. That's why we are trying to go one verse after the other. But it may take some time. But if it does any benefit, it's good. But if I find that after a while you are also getting bored with it, then I will go just telling the story and pass through. That's going to be impossible. Because there's nothing I can do more than that. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, I'll see you in the next one.